As we look into the scripture today in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. But before I begin reading, let me just fill in where we're at here. You go back to chapter 1 and we see Hannah, who is without child, and she's just praying to the Lord, "Lord, give me a child, give me a child." Even to the point that she becomes so desperate in her prayers that those that were with her thought that she was drunk. Even the priest was mocking her lips and thinking, "Hey, what's going on here?" That she said, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give my son back to you. I will give him to be raised, Lord, in the temple. Lord, I will do that for you." And so as she gave birth to Samuel, her first child, and you study Hannah, she had more children besides Samuel, but she did exactly what she promised the Lord. How many times do we promise God something and then we do not fulfill that promise? How many times do we tell the Lord, "Lord, now if you'll do this, God, this is what I'll do for you." But so many times we forget about what we told God, but we're so thankful that God did what we asked. Amen? Because God came through, then we forget about the deal that we made with God. But Hannah, once Samuel was weaned, she took him to the priest Eli, gave him to Eli that he be brought up in the temple of the Lord. And so Samuel is beginning to grow and he's beginning to begin to understand, and you've watched children as they grow, how they begin to comprehend, how they begin to grab a hold of things in life. And children learn more from what we do than what we say. They watch our actions and they become little me's, amen? Or they become little you's. I mean, we may tell them one thing, but yet they do something totally different, and that is that they're doing what they see us doing. And so Samuel, he's growing up watching Eli's sons, and Eli's sons are really not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Amen? When you study this out and you look at it, the Eli's sons were using the house of the Lord for their own personal gain. They were using the people of God for their own personal benefit. So here now, Samuel's growing up. He's learning of the Lord. And the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." There was a time that you weren't hearing from the Lord during this time. It wasn't like us today. I mean, we're gathered here today on Sunday to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord. But even tomorrow, in the confines of our home, we can worship the Lord. We can feel the Lord. We can hear the Lord. Amen? But back in those days, and when you look at it, there were only a select individuals that the Lord spoke to. And so we had to trust that God was speaking to them as they were speaking to us. But there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes were waxed dim that he could not see, that the ear of the lamp of the Lord went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now, just to let you know, Samuel's place of resting was in the temple, beside the ark. I don't know about you, there's no better place to sleep than in the temple, in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord said that upon the mercy seat, that's where I'll be. And so Samuel was sleeping not far from the mercy seat. And the Bible says, and the Lord called to Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lay down again." And he went and he laid down. Now understand here that because Samuel was not accustomed to hearing the voice of the Lord, he was thinking, "Eli is the one that's calling me." And so he's going to Eli. How many times have you been somewhere and you thought that you heard somebody call your name? Amen. And there's been times that I've even went to Diane and said, "Hey, did you need something?" And she said, "No, say, here am I." And so as we continue here, it said, "And the Lord called yet again unto Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son. Lie down again.' And Samuel did not know yet the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child." Now it's starting to register with Eli. It is the Lord that is speaking to Samuel. So now Eli gives Samuel these words, and therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went out and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called at his other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And as I said earlier, I want to talk to us this morning of the thought, call me again, Lord. Call me again. And when I begin to think about this subject, call me again. Growing up as a child, you know, on the phone before we ever had answering machines, when the phone would ring, we didn't know who it was on the other end. And so sometimes when your parents was expecting a call from somebody they didn't want to receive that call from, they would tell you, don't answer that phone. Amen? Some of you are old enough, you're here, you understand what I'm talking about. And then we developed answering machines. So then we would say, don't answer it. Let the answer machine answer it. And then when the answer machine would answer it, we would hear who it was. Then we would decide at that time whether we're going to return the call or we're going to wait till a later time. Now, with this great invention, we now can look and see who's calling. And we'll say, zoop, nope, I'm not answering that one. Amen. If they really want me bad enough, they can leave a message. And how many times when somebody is trying to get a hold of you, but you really don't want to talk to them, you continue to avoid their calls? Because you know they're going to ask you to do something and you can't tell them no. Or they're going to ask you for something and you can't tell them no. Or they're going to ask you to just say something, but you don't want to speak to them. And so because you've got caller ID, you know exactly who it is, then you can say no. Can I say that's the same process as when we start walking with the Lord? When we start walking with the Lord, we really don't know His voice. So we just reach down and pick up the phone. We say, hello. And the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. And you say, oh, no, Lord, you got the wrong number. Come on. Then you move to the point of a voicemail that He leaves you a message and you say no. And now you have caller ID that you know that He's calling. But you're saying, Lord, the only time I want to talk to you is when I want something. When I'm in need of something, Lord. When I need some kind of provision. When I need some kind of breakthrough. Then, Lord, we're going to talk. But, Lord, I don't want to talk to you until I need something. Because, Lord, you may ask me to do something I don't think I'm qualified for. Can I tell you something this morning? If God is asking you to do something, you're already qualified. Amen? Because He knows about you what you don't know about you. He knows what you can do beyond your own capabilities. Not only that, He's waiting to pour out an anointing upon you that's going to break the very yoke that's trying to hold you back. It's time that we just back up and say, Lord, I've been afraid of your voice. Lord, I've been afraid to do what you want me to do. But no longer, God, am I going to be afraid. I'm going to say, here am I, Lord. Your servant heareth. Now begin to speak. Amen. And so as God begins to give us instruction, and you go on and read here in this third chapter, Eli knew that the Lord was talking to Samuel. And he gets up the next day and Samuel's trying to hold back. I sure hope Eli doesn't ask me what God was saying, because I don't want to be the bearer of this news. Amen. I don't want to be the one that tells him that, hey, your sons, they're going to die. God's going to take them out because you hadn't set things in order. Can I tell you, just as God told Noah, my spirit's not always going to strive with man. There's going to be a time that God's going to stop calling. There's going to be a time that God's going to stop asking. Because why? God is saying, listen, enough is enough. If you don't want to be a part of what I'm doing and you don't want to be a part of what I'm going to give you and the way that I'm going to make before you, then I'm going to back off from you. You know, as we look through the Scriptures, we see this in different parts. You know, you remember Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and says, I need you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, no, Lord, I'm not going there because I don't like those people. Amen? How many times have we said, Lord, I don't want to do that because I don't like it. Lord, I don't want to be around these people because, Lord, they think they're better than I am. Lord, I don't want to be around these people because we're from two different worlds. We're from two different cultures. We're from two different settings. And the Lord says, no, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh and I need you to preach repentance, because if you don't preach repentance to them, I'm going to come in and I'm going to take out the city. Amen. I'm going to bring judgment to that city. But Jonah, you're the individual that can speak to them. Now let me tell you something very important about Jonah. When you go back and you study through Jewish history, and you go back to Zarephath, you remember when Elisha came into the town? Elijah, not Elisha, but Elijah came into the town after he had said there was going to be no rain, and he goes to Zarephath and he meets up with a widow woman. And the widow woman that he meets up with says, I'm just going to take these two sticks here and make a fire, and the last bit of meal and all that we have, make a cake, and my son and I are going to die. And Elijah says, hey, listen, make for the prophet first. And the Bible says that through the remaining of the famine, that the barrel never ran dry.
Come on.
You remember her son? That son was Jonah. That son was Jonah. So Jonah was, he wasn't a stranger to the voice of God. He wasn't a stranger to the miracles of God. And he knew what God could do. But Jonah was like, Lord, I don't want to go to Nineveh. And so he boards a ship going to Tarshish. And the storm comes in. And you ever notice that people that are running from God, they can sleep through anything. They're in the midst of a storm. This boat's being tossed around everywhere. And Jonah's in the boat asleep. And the captain of the boat goes down and says, why are you sleeping? Don't you know what's going on? And when he finally comes to where everybody's at, he said, listen, the reason we're in this storm is my fault. And the man said, hey, we're getting rid of the fault. Amen. And so they pushed him overboard. And when they did, God had created a great whale that swallowed Jonah up. And for 3 days and for three nights, Jonah was in the belly of this whale. But the Bible says that Jonah repented while he was there. And he said, Lord, Lord, I'll do it. What you want me to do? And you know, at the end of chapter one there, no, Jonah's being spit out of the belly of the whale. But Jonah at this time, I know you've heard it preached probably your whole lifetime that Jonah, as he come out, he's running to Nineveh. He's not. Because when you look in Jonah chapter two, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah again. The Lord had to come tap Jonah on the shoulder and say, Jonah, hey, you remember the deal we made in the belly? You remember the deal we made that if you got out of here that you'd go to Nineveh? Arise, Jonah, and now go to Nineveh. So now Jonah's headed to Nineveh. Why? Because the Lord called him again. But not only did he call him again, his grace was still upon him. His anointing was still upon him. That as Jonah made his way through the city, revival begin to break out. Can I tell you, you may be that individual that's going to be very important for revival to begin to break out here in Casa Grande. You could be that very one. You know, we always sometimes look for the latest and greatest evangelist or speaker to come through town, that they're going to be the one. Can I tell you that God wants to do it with the individuals that are here? That way man doesn't get the credit. But it's that God, people look toward God and said, God is the one that blessed us. God is the one that anointed us. God is the one that brought this revival. So Jonah, he brought this revival. Why? Because God called him again and he heeded the call. I want to ask you this morning, you know, God has spoken to you. He's asked you to do things. And we said, Lord, wait. Lord, when it's better, Lord, then I'll do this. Lord, when it's better, I'll go this way and I'll go that way. And I remember my own personal life that I told Lord, you just forgive me my sins. I'll do whatever you ask me to do.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Like you've never said that. Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I know that there's been times that the Lord will ask me to do something. And I say, Lord, I can't do that. And he said, you remember what you told me? Then I'll say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. Amen. Because when we begin to walk forward in faith and we begin to do what God has commanded us to do, then we begin to see God doing a great work. But when we get caught up in ourselves and what we're doing, we become miserable. And then we get to a place in our life where we say, call me again, Lord. Oh, call me. You know, another individual that we can look at in the Scriptures is Peter. And Peter, people says, well, you know, I don't think I want to be Peter. But can I tell you this? We got more people with the personality of Peter than we have people with the personality of John.
That's right.
We got people that's willing to go ahead and give you their opinion, whether you ask for it or not. Amen. They'll say, well, I'll tell you what, this is what I think about it, you know. And that's how Peter was. Peter, you know, he just stepped right up there and he says, now, this is what I think, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, and the Lord never told Peter, Peter, I need you to harness that down.
Come on, that's right.
The Lord kept with Peter, encouraging Peter to be Peter. Amen? Because when you are converted, Peter, you remember that when the Lord told him that, when you are converted, You're gonna lead a lot of people to me, amen. Because you're not afraid to speak for me. You're not afraid to speak to the people. You're not afraid to be who you are, amen. And so Peter, he's following the Lord, and we look at Peter and so many things that Peter done that people says I'll never do that we need to be doing, amen. We need to be doing it, but the Lord tells Peter, he said you're gonna deny me three times before the rooster crows. Peter says, no, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. And we see in the scriptures there in John chapter 19 how Peter did deny the Lord three times. We see after Jesus went to the cross, Peter was nowhere near the cross. He was standing afar off.
That's right.
Peter was trying to decide what he was going to do, how he was going to do, when he was going to do. Peter's take an inventory of the last 3.5 years of his life that he's been following Christ. Is what I've been doing, is it really worthy of? Or am I going to go back to my old profession? Am I going to go back to just being a fisherman?
Come on.
And the Bible even tells us there in John chapter 21 that Peter says to them, he said, I'm going to go fishing. And they go fishing and they're catching fish and they look up on the bank and Jesus has a meal ready for them. And as they just fast forward, and Peter comes and he sets at the table with Jesus. Oh, what it would be like to just sit at the table with Jesus. Amen. And as he's sitting at the table with Jesus, Jesus looks at Peter and he's kind of like poking on the fish. And he says, lovest thou me more than these? Because he knew Peter was thinking about going back to fish. Because of where he found Peter, amen? So many times we go back to what we feel comfortable with. And he says, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. Peter's like, okay, Lord, you know, I'll feed you lambs. But then the Lord, he's still poking on the fish. You know, you're saying, wait a minute, Scripture doesn't say that. I'm preaching this morning, okay? He's poking on it. And he says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter's thinking within his mind here at first, you just asked me this question, Lord. And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Then the Bible goes on to the third time. And he asked him again. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And the Bible said at this time, Peter was grieved at what was being said. Can I say it this way? He was kind of aggravated. He's like, Lord, you've already asked me twice. Now you're asking me the third time. What are you up to? Because the Lord knew what he was up to, because Peter was at a place, at a crossroads in his life, that he was willing to give up the last 3.5 years of training to go back to doing what he had done his whole entire life and being a miserable, stinking fisherman.
Come on.
And you're saying, what? He was willing to go back after all the miracles he saw, after all the breakthroughs that he saw, after all the deliverances that he saw, he said, I'm willing to go back. But the Lord, he's not letting him go. And he said, do you love me? And Peter being grieved, and I'm going to go ahead and say angry, he says, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. This morning, God is calling us. God is beckoning to us. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. But we say, I can't do it. I can't do it, Lord, because of my past. And forgive me, brother, for using you. But as you was talking about when you was in prison, so many times the devil wants to tell you, oh, you can't be effective for Jesus because you was in prison.
Come on.
Hey, listen, John was in prison.
Come on.
Amen. Paul was in prison. I mean, look at the revival that broke out when Paul came out of prison. Amen. So it's not about where you've been, but it's about where you're at. And it's about where you're going. It's about coming to a place of saying, Lord, I need you more than I've ever needed you before. And God's calling us and saying, will you do what I'm going to ask you to do? Will you be who I need you to be? I need people that's going to be willing to stand at the door and greet people and love on them when they come in. I'm going to need people who's going to be willing to get around the operating table, what I call the altars, and going to stay right there with them, going to seek with them, going to pray with them, going to stay with them till there's a breakthrough. I'm going to need other individuals who's going to be willing to stand and lift up their voices that I've given them to be in praise. I'm also going to need people that's going to be willing to be a voice for the Lord crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent. Repent and turn to the Lord. But are we going to be willing to accept that call? Are we going to be willing to say, yes, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. Lord, where you're taking me, I will pursue. It's not about what this person is doing or what that person is doing, but Lord, it's about what you have called me to do. And Lord, I'm going to pursue. Lord, I'm going to do this because, Lord, great is your faithfulness unto me. Lord, great is your love because you look beyond my faults. And Lord, you're ministering to my needs. Lord, you believed in me when nobody else believed in me. And Lord, you loved me when I was unlovable. And so, yes, Lord, I'm going to answer that call. This morning, if you'd stand with me. All over this house. I know sometimes you may ask the question, why does the minister ask people to stand? And I'm going to tell it to you this way. It's easier to move once you're standing. Because you've already made the first step of standing. Now all you got to do is you got to move out. This morning, as you're standing and your eyes are closed, and as I'm talking to you right now, what is it that the Lord has asked you to do that you've really not come to the place of doing right now? What is it that the Lord is leading you into that you've been, if I can just use these words, you've been intimidated to do this because of maybe your past or maybe because of who you think the others are going to look at you and say, hey, who do they think they are? But can I say to you today, it's not about what others are thinking, because the Scripture tells us this, if God be for us, who can be against us? And it's not by our might nor by our power, but it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. God has called you, but you've been hesitant. God has called you and you really haven't given it 100%. God has called you and you've been trying to develop the plan instead of going with God's plan. You're here today and you would say, Bishop, I don't know what it's going to look like, but today I'm just going to surrender it all to Him. Today I'm just going to give it all to Him and I'm going to heed to the call. I'm going to say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Just call me. And Lord, as you call me, I will answer. I may not know what it's going to look like, but Lord, I'm going to come into your mighty presence. I'm going to come into your glorious presence. If that is you this morning, can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? And then as you raise your hand, if you want prayer from this church body, if you'll just step out from where you're at and come down here to the front. Come on down to the front. We want to join together with you in prayer because as we join with you in prayer, we know that God is going to minister to you. We know that God is going to bring a breakthrough for you in your life. He is going to equip you. He's going to bring you up a level so that you know that you can do it. Do you want that prayer this morning? Yes, thank you. Thank you for this one that has come. Come on. Come on. There's others here in the house. Come on. You're here this morning and you'll say, I'm coming to receive the power. I'm coming to receive the power that the Lord God Almighty is going to give me. Yes, Father, I thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, my brother, Lord, and your son, Lord, your servant. Lord, it's not about where he's been, but it's about where he's going. Lord, it's about where he's headed. Lord, it's about the individuals, Lord, that he's going to minister to. Lord, that he's going to see the yoke of bondage broken off of. Lord, I pray, God, that you begin to equip him like he has never been equipped before. Lord, as he opens your word and he begins to read your word, I ask, God, that you begin to show it you in your word like he's never seen you before. Then, Father, I
anointing, a mighty anointing be upon his life. Father, your mighty spirit begin to flow through him. Like, of living water. Father, let those rivers let those rivers begin to flow. In Jesus' name. Flow, Lord, flow. Father, for my sister. Lord, the first thing we're going to ask you to do, Lord, fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let that anointing begin to flow in her. Lord, she's dreamed about walking in your anointing. She has dreamed, Lord, about seeing the super miraculous. Father, in the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, empower her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you.